Reverend Jones?
Yes, Mr.
Yes, sir.
I thought I should call you based on the fact that I guess something of an innuendo or rumor has gotten started here.
Oh.
I'm a friend of the editor, a very close friend of the editor of the Chronicle, and one of his reporters had called and said that they were interested in doing a story as to whether harassment of churches, and all we're in part, I think, responsible for that. On Saturday, there was a testimonial of some several thousand people here in our church, and Reverend Cecil Williams was present, and he, in his presentation, mentioned that we were both being investigated.
Oh.
And so I...
as the church or as individuals? Or?
As a church.
As a church.
Uh-huh. And then the reporter, Scrooge, also friendly, he said, "You were a nice chap." He said, "I should call." He said, "You were not aware of our existence. Well, we're probably listed in your... We're in the Disciples of Christ, which includes Lyndon Baines Johnson, present FBI director, people of that standing.
Uh-huh.
I don't... I doubt if you would know us just by People's Temple. You would probably notice us under the yearbook of the Disciples, which is a 2 million member denomination. But anyway, then we had also had... one of our ministers then reached over to me and said, "Yes, we have been getting some letters." Well, this just shows you how innuendo and rumor grows. But I traced it down to, and I'm going to try to straighten out everybody's mind on this subject, an ungodly number of people I'm going to have to call because Board of Supervisors are present, and Senator and Congressman and Mayor, but I will do it. Anyway, one of our members received a letter by the name of Carter suggesting that our church, it had to do with him, I guess, writing about the Soviet Union's practice of restricting Jewish immigration to Israel. And a letter came back to him suggesting that our church, that would not be something, you know, I have the quote here. "The lay activities of reconciliation and service generally appeared to be of charitable and educational nature. However, attempts to influence social, political, or economic policy of the United States or foreign governments appears to constitute attempts to influence political or legislative action. The effect of such charitable education, political legislation action on the church is as follows." And it goes on and on. But actually, the letter doesn't say in any way that we are being investigated.
Right.
Mr. Stone, who's assistant district attorney here, then wrote to a gentleman in your office, Mr. Lang, suggesting that we might, because we'd been told, we'd heard this rumor from Reverend Williams before. Now, I had never known of harassment from Internal Revenue in the West Coast. I've always seen the agencies of government here to be the highest caliber. The FBI, Internal Revenue, all. Just it's a general practice.
Yes, sir.
But some 15 years ago, when I pastored a disciple congregation back in the Midwest, I did find an unusual thing happen to me that causes, I think, one to be a little apprehensive. I can't remember the name of the Presbyterian, but he was a Presbyterian minister of some national standing. He took a stand against the portion of taxes that were supporting, I believe it was early in the Vietnam War.
Uh-huh.
And he ended up going to jail for conscience. I think he withheld. But he got some sad treatment. I think he was incarcerated in Kentucky, in that region, which, you know, the understanding of people's social consciousness wouldn't be too broad in that type of penitentiary scene. But he got beat up very, very badly. So members of our church wrote a petition to the Fifth Court of District, I think it was Fifth Court District Appeals in Cincinnati, to the judge, not even indicating that we were supporting his stand, but asking for some leniency of sentence, I couldn't even recall, looking into the case because of he looked terrible. One of our ministers had visited him in our denomination, and he was beaten so badly that he really looked like he had been put through the mill. Well, 2 weeks later, every one of us that was on that petition, we received notice from the Internal Revenue of that particular area addressed to our church, which was obvious that, the judge then had, I guess, given it over to Internal Revenue, perhaps not understanding, maybe think we were getting ready to withhold our taxes from. I don't know what the motivation was behind it. But that left a kind of a sour note in my mind. I thought that was a little lacking in protocol, because I thought we spelled out very clearly that we did not endorse the individual taxpayer withholding their income tax. But anyway, this judge obviously referred it to.
I see. This was 15 years ago.
Oh, at least, yes.
Oh, I see.
And then subsequently, I had, I thought, a number, an enormous number of audits, three in 3 or 4 years. But I've heard from my bishop that that's not uncommon. Sometimes that one will just fall under a strange kind of statistical. Hello?
Right, yes, sir.
I thought we were cut off. A strange statistical kind of coincidence, and will be audited. But I have never been in any way bothered by the tax people. Although when Cecil said we were, he spoke like he knew something that we were indeed being...
No, I think there's been a lot of concern in this entire area. As you know, in terms of non-profit organizations, which a church would be included in that category.
Surely.
There's been Congress back in 1969 was concerned that we were not getting the audit coverage. For example, there's 600,000 of these entities in the country, ranging from very big ones to very little ones. And our there are tax laws that says that if they are churches or if they do certain charitable things, that they don't have to pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but somehow we have not been examining these entities to determine whether they are complying with the law.
Sure.
And so over the last 5 years, there's been a lot of emphasis in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And it ranges from the biggest Ford Foundation down to the little.
Well, and the editor, who's a good friend in Chronicle, said what you were concerned with was the churches that were, like Christian Brothers, involved in wine-making process. And I said, well, my God.
It could be right.
People,
in other words,
people's
under
temper,
the law. Right, under the law.
We don't have any such activities.
Right. And even if we're concerned, there's nothing wrong for a church to do all these social good things. In other words, religion or charitable, the definition is so broad that it encompasses helping elderly people or disadvantaged groups or what have you.
Yes.
You know, social type of activity.
I think it was another point in that letter that disturbed our church people that thought a social welfare organization. It was suggested that we perhaps ought to form a social welfare organization. The entity remains exempt from federal income tax, but contribution to it are not deductible by the donor.
That's under a different category in the law, right?
Well, anyway, the last letter, so our church, one of our, as I said, I think it was the district attorney that wrote, yes, it is, I see here. He's a member of our church board, and he got a nice letter back from the gentleman, Long, or Lang, or something.
Dan Long, right.
Yes. In response to Mr. Stone's July letters, may I suggest that he and a few interested members of your church visit with me to resolve any questions you may have. So, as I said, when I looked at this morning, it's quite obvious that Mr. Carter has inspired this by asking whether he, I think as I understand, he asked whether he could write letters as a member of the church. But our church didn't even take a stand on this. We didn't suggest that people... I'm sure I've preached that the Soviet Union should not persecute Jews any more than I feel that any nation should persecute any segment of its population. But there was no concerted effort, and I'm very familiar with this business of legislation, which I wholly endorse. I don't think the church has a right to use its exempt basis. I saw a group of churches not long ago that were trying to legislate on this bill that affected the homosexuals. And I thought at the time, I thought they were way out of line trying to stop that bill, even though I don't personally have some subjective feelings of a negative nature about homosexuality. I don't believe the church has any right to engage in legislation for or against anything. And we've been most careful on that subject. But the reason I called you, frankly, was that Bill Cooley, also a very good man, the Chronicle, said you didn't know of our existence. So
no,
I thought,
he asked me about the name of the organization, and as you very well pointed out, it's under another name. And so
well, I explained that to him, and I cleared the matter up already with the Chronicle. But now I'll have to go through, because it was my testimonial dinner, and I don't know how many legislators and supervisors, and they all heard
sometimes
this.
Sometimes there's an overreaction.
Well, I can clear it up, and I assure you that I will. I will call all the ministers and everybody, but there were 7,000 people present. It's going to be, I think maybe we can just write a little notation stressing that this was misinformation.
Right.
So I'll handle it that way.
I'm glad to hear from you.
And thank you. I'm glad to hear from
you. If I can be of any help, don't.
Well, you already have been, and I appreciate getting this resolved, because it's an amazing thing how one's paranoia plus a little innuendo and rumor can build up. I think a lot of us got estranged from IRS due to the information that came out, and again, probably alleged, that came out about the Nixon era.
Right.
That certain elements in the east of the IRS said, well, of course, what could you do if you were ordered, I suppose, by government?
Well,
I don't know that it even took place. But I do think I sensed in my own church membership a feeling of distrust of agencies of government where we didn't exist before, and that's too bad.
And it's an image that we're going to have to really work on.
Well, from what I hear from Mr. Cooney, you're doing a good job of it. He spoke very kindly, and I have, as I said, high regard. The editor is a personal friend, so he helped me immensely.
Good.
By their interpretation of you helped me immensely.
Very
so
good.
I'll pass that interpretation on.
Wonderful.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Bye.
Turns out that there's a letter from one of our members asking if you can write, if indeed you can do this sort of thing, or someone in our congregation who's written, if you can write the Soviet Union. And so their letters were all responding to that as a church you cannot. But the man seemed to be very friendly, and he said something almost to remind me of you, and he said that our bureau, the people, there's an estrangement. And I said, well, the reporter helped very much. I said it was due to Mr. Gavin, I think, who was interested in looking into it, and he's a very good man. And I said, the reporter said you were a nice chap. The guy breathed a sigh of relief. I don't think I will see that our next newsletter that I send straight with our members, and I'll call everyone that I know, that I can remember. He seemed like, unless he's awfully foxy, he seemed like he was being very straight.
Well, Bill should know him. Bill worked the federal beat for us for about 10 years, and he knows all his people personally. That's
well, he talked kindly about the man. He felt, you know, he talked like he was an all right guy. He'd never known of harassment on the West Coast, which I hadn't. I told him the story about why I was a little bit uptight with IRS due to the years, experiences of years ago, and he said, how long was that? He seemed to be equally disturbed about it. He didn't comment particularly on it, but he certainly heard me out, and I said that gave us a little room for thinking. Then Cecil gets me in these alleys again, because Cecil tells me that he knows someone. I didn't tell you the whole story, but this is off the record. That Cecil knew someone. I ought to learn. I ought to learn by now.
You really should. How much evidence do you need?
It's hard for me to get accustomed to somebody just lying to you straight out.
Well, I don't think, you know, I think, from what I hear, I think you have the best reading on it. It's a terrible insecurity, you know.
I said, now, Cecil, I have learned to ask him that, Cecil, you know this to be fact. Yeah, I know this to be fact. I know so-and-so. And he also, the other day I didn't fall for something about telephones all being involved with, and we were being investigated by something. I don't even remember what he said. I said, well, the phones are probably tapped all the time anyway, see, so I wouldn't worry about it. And I said, I haven't got anything that I'm concerned about. I don't make love over a telephone or some joke like that. I just threw it off. Anyway, he said with such adamant certainty that we were being investigated. And then with these letters that we have here, you know, so we react again. But I will learn. I just in fact notified my staff on the intercom that I won the conference, and I've been informed that if Cecil calls in with any more rumors, just not to. He says he has an IRS person in his church that said we were in an investigation.
Well, the IRS says it's not so.
And I believe the man from the IRS. He sounded like a very human being. And I'm frankly glad that it all came up. I'm glad you looked into it, because it's the first taxman I've talked to since 15 years ago. And I frankly had not felt good about IRS since then.
Yeah. Well, I can understand, sure.
And he seemed to have a great deal of empathy for that. I said, I guess you realize, too, that people have had a feeling of distrust since Watergate. He said, and I think, I don't remember his exact word, but I think he said rightfully so. And when I told him that I was going to send out notifications that we had been misinformed and thus made an erroneous statement, he said, well, fine, that's wonderful of you. So obviously, if I'm under an investigation, he wouldn't want me to do that, I wouldn't think.
So
we've been let down.
They would have to. Hold on. Can you hold this?
Sure. Said he was a nice chap. I certainly didn't want to get into any more bad vibes.
He says no problem with churches doing good works.
Well, the same thing he said to me. The only thing he added that I didn't to hear from your reporter was that they've been investigating for about 4 or 5 years unrelated church business and activities. I said, well, we have none. And I wrote it off like that. He didn't. And I said, I called, frankly, Bill had said that he didn't know of our existence. So I thought, well, it would be a good test to see. He may not know of us, because if indeed he was looking under Bill People's Temple, if Mr. Cooney was looking under People's Temple,
right,
we'd probably be listed in the yearbook of the Disciples of Christ denomination.
Oh.
And so an investigation could have been going on that way. So I... and my affiliation, and I... thought I heard the shuffle of papers, so, some way of checking.
Well, he said that when we made the original call, he said you weren't on a tax-exempt list, which they found puzzling, because we didn't name People's Temple yet.
Well, I think he must have ascertained by the end of the conversation who we were, because the moment I started the conversation, he shuffled some papers. He said, yes, I know. And when I mentioned we were the Disciples of Christ, I think he said, yes, I know. So that's where he would have us in our yearbook. Each of our churches have to make reports to the finite detail, of the infinite detail.
Yeah, I know. You have to follow it up.
With our denomination. And it's a good thing to do, because then, in a way, the denomination is involved, because they make the report. You make the report to them, and then the denominational office makes a report. They verify from their standpoint of their knowledge of our church and its functions, and then it becomes more than a local issue. And I would think that, but maybe they're reviewing Cecil's taxes privately. Did they say to you? Excuse me. Did they say to you whether it was Glide? Because I didn't even mention. Other than Cecil had said that he too was being, that there was some audit. I quoted Cecil, not the reporter. I didn't report what.
This is their normal audit of Glide. Now, I don't know whether that.
That's the only thing that seems a little strange. as I have understood from IRS people in our church, that they don't normally even audit churches. It's not a normal practice. So I wonder if they it's something Cecil is saying or doing. Now, that's what I have heard from IRS members in our church. I don't know whether they know what they're talking about. As a church,
they must know it. One would think they would, you know.
Well, I don't know that in that particular division is what I mean. They're very good people.
It's an enormous bureaucracy, yeah.
It is a terrible one.
Yeah.
And I find that the IRS members of my church, three of them that I know, are as paranoid about the IRS as I happen to have been. But this chap seemed exactly like Cooney described him to be. Very understanding, and he said he was hoping that he could change the image. He was hoping more could be done to change the image. And he was very down to earth and very friendly, and when I mentioned I would send out notification that we had been misinformed and then made a misstatement, a fact, he said, wonderful. So obviously it would seem to me that if we were being the focal point of harassment, he would not... want me to write to people or to call people and tell them we indeed were not being.
But we'll check it again in December.
If I hear of anything, too, I'll let you know.
Yeah, because I understand, according to the IRS regulations, that they're not allowed to tell us of any check it's doing unless the group being checked on says it is being checked out.
I would think he could tell me.
He probably would be able to tell you, but he can't tell us unless like, for example, like this situation where we heard, you know, where you're saying that you understand that there's some sort of inquiry going on.
Yeah, sure.
And then we can...
They
can't volunteer the information, yeah. They're not allowed to... It's the confidentiality income tax thing. They're not allowed to volunteer that information.
Well, all I told of Cecil's quote, by the way, was what he said publicly, that he said he was being audited. I didn't say that Cecil said we were being audited, because I didn't want to give Cecil any trouble, because I think Cecil does a lot of good things. I just wish he'd quit lying. Because he's obviously told me a bold-faced lie about this audit. I don't think anyone told him that. But maybe they have. It could be. But I remember he told me that... your reporter, her name slipped my... Judy Smith.
Yeah.
He told me that she'd done an article on him.
I'm very glad that came to light.
Yes,
I'm
so
extremely pleased that that came to light, as a matter of fact. it's the saying we have in our business, which is go to the source. You know, I mean, people, if you believe hearsay, you get in a lot of trouble. And just go to the source, pick up the phone and call the person and say, hey, is that true or is that not true, you know?
Well, that's how my relationship began with this butcher, by the way. I intended to say it, but I'm awfully ill at ease in a testimonial. He called me a communist in a public meeting, so, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
And I called him and said, I was fired up, too. I called him and said, hey, man, you don't even know me. What the hell are you calling me communist? He said, now, come off. Hey, cool down. Who are you? I didn't even tell him who I was. And from that point, after making an ass of myself, because he hadn't accused me of being a communist, we built a sort of a friendship that through the years lasted in spite of differences. And you're quite right, it ought to always be done, and it's always been sort of a basic philosophy of mine, but every now and then I
sucked in there. Things to do, yeah.
Well, thanks, Steve. I won't take more of your time. I thought I'd give you the
my pleasure
feedback.
Anytime. I just hope you feel better if apparently isn't true, and as we can tell.
Well, I think you've done me great service, because we thought it was, in fact, true. And then when the church like Glide, which is involved in more practical causes, from what I can gather, I don't really know all about Glide, other than when I see Cecil in the news. Having that happen almost simultaneously, I think we had rather gathered that we were under investigation. And these letters coming back and forth. But what has happened, someone wrote in there, evidently they heard me say something about Soviet policy and
on the immigration. But I did not recommend anyone to write letters. I just said that
I was protesting it. That's always what I do. You have to be extremely careful.
I know, yeah.
In the church, what you say in terms of
yes,
legislation or endorsement.
I could feel you wince even where I was on Saturday when Willie said something about 4,000 votes from People's Temple swinging the election.
Oh, God. That would be the end of our exemption right there. If you felt right. I didn't know I made it that noticeable, but I
well,
made a big note.
I had talked to you. You know, we had talked about this before, and I just could see. I sort of winced myself.
As the mayor said that, wasn't it? Or was it Willie? Did Willie say
it? Willie
said it,
yeah.
Whoever said it, I thought. They don't use any judgment. I think, too, we make a mistake in the church in invitations. Frankly, the John Bircher wouldn't have been there if I hadn't. I added him to the list at the last. I said, how the hell are you going to have him in an environment where Willie Brown's going to say lots of peculiar things? I said, well, if he's a friend, this will be a good test of the friendship. And so was Dr. Boynton, his wife. And they were the most conservative Reagan Republicans. She was, I think, the head of the delegation under Reagan, the last convention. But they went away very happy. So you never know how far the human dimension can reach.
If you believe in freedom of speech, you believe in it for everybody. That's the way it is. You don't have to agree with people, but that doesn't mean that you should in any way interfere with their. Just because you don't agree with people,
but true.
Doesn't mean anything. You know?
And I don't think we ought to always make an assumption that only a group of liberals can gather together. And I don't like to put People's Temple in the what is commonly known. I think are maybe mistakenly known as a certain machine type of reaction, because I'm nobody's ploy. I don't support anyone politically based on any kind of thing they can do for us or any kind of power they may have. I hope I made that clear in the sermon. I forgot. One of the media said I gave my blessings to Mr. Carter, and indeed I did not give my blessings to Mr. Carter. I went there with the express purpose of showing 1,000 members what we concerned about Fresno 4, and she invited me to dinner. And I ate with her, and all we talked about was where they stood on issues. And I said publicly on the platform that I was ambivalent in my decision. But somebody said we gave our blessings to them. So they said, I didn't even hear that. And that may be again rumor, I don't know. But I haven't given my blessings to either one of these. By the way, do you know anything of the rumors? One rumor I wanted to ask you off the record about Carter. I'm trying to make up my mind as an individual, not as a church, but this is the damnedest election I've ever seen. You know anything about the 1970 campaign for governor, where the Carter campaign organized a Dirty Tricks campaign that was dubbed, I think, something like a stink tank in an attempt to win racist votes?
There was a rumor about that he ran a, there was a rumor about that he ran a very racist campaign. Outside somebody, as they say, down south.
Carl Sandy
turned around, and I think he's been quoted on the subject of saying, I read something, read so much. I think he was quoted as, which number did I find the newsweek? As saying, yeah, I said some things in that campaign that I wish I hadn't said or something, but.
We did.
I regret having said them now or something.
Well, it went on to such a degree.
But that's how it used to be in the South again.
I suppose. But it seemed to me, from what I remember, my memory is much foggier than yours, that is, they anonymously distributed a photograph of Sanders, who was his opponent, I believe, at the time, and standing with two bad black basketball players. And the pictures were sent to rural white-owned barber shops and white Baptist ministers.
Never heard that.
I think someone told me that it was in something they picked up from the Atlantic Constitution. So I don't know if that may be more innuendo. It's hard for me to make a decision in this particular election.
Yeah, they didn't confirm it. I couldn't be off in class.
Well, if you ever have a little insight as to what one should do, please don't hesitate to give us a ring.
I would never tell anybody what to do.
No, I don't mean that. What you're going to do.
people who are sensitive. I like to hear what people who are sensitive are going to do.
I can tell you what I'm going to do. That's no secret. I can tell you now what I'm going to do. I'm a Democrat.
I'm a Democrat.
I believe that the party is better suited to govern. It's more sensitive to the people. It's more aware of the needs of the people.
That I concur.
By and large, I think it's better suited to government, unless the party were to make an outrageous mistake. I would always stick with it. I believe that old concept of party responsibility.
You think the kind of platform will kind of hem the guy in?